You were listening to Ladies POV with Yo Amika. Let's get this show started.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Ladies POV with Yo Amika. I am Mika, and she is
Yolanda.
And again, this is Ladies POV, powered by Anchor, Spotify. You can catch us on all platforms, whichever you listen to your podcast. We are there for your listening pleasure. What's going on, Yolanda?
Nothing much, you know, just trying to make it these days. Other than that, though, it's been pretty okay. You know.
I get it.
It's life.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. It's life. Yes. I feel you. I am the same way. You know, summer has winded down for me. Like, I don't have summer anymore. So,
yeah.
You know, as fast as I'm like, I can't wait for summer. And now summer is gone. And here we go. You know, fall is right around the corner. School is almost back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, full capacity for these children. So,
yes, that should be. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, kids wear the mask, don't wear the mask, coming back.
I mean, you know, it's vaccinated. You can, you know, not wear the mask. Unvaccinated, you got to wear the mask. How do we know who's vaccinated and who isn't?
I know. I think with school, I think, you know, I say, I don't think, you know, just like with anything else, though, with school, I think that, you know, you have to show proof of that, you know, immunization, things like that.
Yeah.
So, shouldn't be too hard, but I know that they're, at least in Prince George's County, I know that all the you know, schools are required for the children to wear a mask all day.
Oh, yeah. School. Yeah.
So, and most people, I mean, why not? Especially because there's a more of the under 12 than mm-hmm. there are. You know, above 12, so they can't get vaccinated. So, you know, they should wear them and, you know, get back.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree. Like, they should wear them. Like, our county also, you know, mm-hmm. the kids have to wear masks, staff have to wear masks every day. And unless you're in a classroom by yourself and the doors can close, otherwise, right. You just need to go ahead and wear a mask. So that's what we are. That's what we are with that. Everybody has to wear a mask. And, you know, I just thought that it would be different this school year, but it's not. So, you know, just going to order some more masks and keep it moving pretty much because that's the way our lives are going right now. Mm-hmm. You know, last week I went on vacation to Las Vegas and
oh, how was that? Yeah.
That was, first of all, I hadn't been on vacation in over 10 years.
Oh, gosh. That's
yeah.
Long, this long
that is
pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very long. And I, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's been this long since I've been on vacation. Like, it felt good to get away. It felt so good. It really felt good to get away. And
yeah.
I miss traveling. So, mm-hmm. you know, in my mind, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, I stayed away for far too long. Right. Far too long. So what I'm not going to do is make it another 10 years before I go on vacation. Because that's just unacceptable. You know, I wonder why I'm tired all the time. Because I'm seeing the same scenery that I see, you know, each and every day and not getting away. So that said, I am planning another trip soon because I miss traveling. I really do miss traveling. But Vegas was good to me. I was good to Vegas and, you know, it was cool. It was cool. It was cool to get back there and just, you know, see how they've built up since the last time I was even there, and they've built up quite a bit. But you know, the strip is kind of dirty, which I never realized. It's kind of dirty. You know, you got a lot of homeless people just everywhere. But I guess that's just the way of life, because, you know, you gamble your life savings away and then you don't have a place to stay. So otherwise, you know, there's a hustle for everything. And that's that. We end up getting a car. So we were going off the strip. And yeah, and that was the first time that we had done that, because usually when my mom and I would go, we were in, you know, the weekend, we would fly in Friday night, stay Saturday, and then we out on Sunday. But it was good, since we were with the family, it was good that we had a car, so we got to see other parts of the strip, and not other parts of the strip, but other parts of Nevada, just, you know, outside of the strip. There we go, off the strip, we got to see. So that was cool to see. I mean, you know, it's just like any other city, but I will say this, I thought people drove crazy here, and they do. They drive crazy here, but oh my God, they drive any kind of way in Nevada. Any kind of way, like just disrespectful on the road. Just real disrespectful, real disrespectful. I said, what is going on here? Okay, well, I seem like I got to put on my, you know, my mug face and just drive how they drive, because one's using signals. People are just passing you any kind of way. I mean, it was a mess. I said, what is happening here? It was a whole hot mess. The cab drivers, they just don't care. We took a cab. We went to go see Usher. We ended up taking a cab that night because that was just the easiest way. And, you know, the cabs just cut each other off. They at the lights and then they're turning and they cut somebody else off. I mean, it was crazy. It was real crazy. But, you know, we stayed safe. We stayed safe, and, you know, we got to our destinations, and we were good. Yeah, we were good. But it was, I mean, it was refreshing to see those mountains every morning, just driving, like, it didn't even look real. I was like, oh, it's real mountains. They are real mountains. And we ate some good food. Like, we didn't even eat on the strip. We ate off the strip. There's a spot that I'm telling everybody about called Blueberry Hill. Okay. Blueberry Hill got some good food. If you are ever in Las Vegas, it's not too far from the strip, so you can catch a cab there if you need to, if you don't have a car. But, oh, my God, that food was so good, and it's so much.
Mm-hmm.
They serve breakfast all day. So I had these apple pancakes. Yes, breakfast all day. I had these apple pancakes, Yolanda. Oh. First of all, the pancakes were huge. They were huge, like bigger than IHOP. Bigger than IHOP. Like, I thought IHOP pancakes were good. Mm-mm. Blueberry Hill, I don't even want IHOP pancakes no more. I don't know what they put in them pancakes, but they were so good. Those apple pancakes were so huge. They were so good. Like, I had four big pancakes. I said, I can't eat all this. Is a lot. This is a lot. Damn. So I only ate two. And then, you know, the family, everybody was just, we were just eating off of each other, because that's one of those places where you can order, I can order pancakes. Somebody else can order, you know, eggs. Somebody else can order something else. If you wanted to try different menu items, everybody just order one item and then you just
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, Blueberry Hill. If you ever go to Vegas, anybody, Blueberry Hill, got some good food. And it's cheap. Like, it's cheap.
Right.
Prices are very reasonable. And like I said, you get a lot. you really do get a lot for your money. So it's worth every penny. And the desserts look good too. I couldn't even do it because I was just full. I'm so mad. Like, I wanted the carrot cake. That carrot cake looks so good. Okay. I wanted the milkshake. The milkshakes look good too, but I just couldn't do it because I was full. So, you know, I love good food, and that was some good food. That was some real good food. And then last but not least, the Raiders Stadium, Allegiant Stadium, OMG, what a beauty that is. What a beauty. That stadium.
Okay. With
football season coming up, it's going to be, I mean, it's like 3 or 4 hotels like within walking distance of the stadium. Plus, you got the strip stadium. I mean, the strip hotels that you can, it's like a nice little walk, but somehow they're going to cut this bridge off for cars and make it a pedestrian bridge on game days. Listen, that stadium is huge. It's huge. I don't know how many people this seats, but
I saw it looked. So how did that? Okay, so I mean, I know you're, you know, talking about the whole experience, but so how did that go with, you know, I guess with any COVID protocols or procedures there? How did that, you know, such a large stadium in that kind of venue?
Well, so we didn't get to go in because they didn't have tours. They didn't have tours, so we were just on the outside in the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah, the tours, unfortunately, they had stopped the day before we got there, and then they picked up like now, sometime in August. So we didn't get to tour the stadium like I wanted to, but I know that Nevada does have the statewide mandate, or at least I know in Vegas, it's the mandate of everybody having to wear a mask.
Okay.
So yeah, that came into effect like when we were there, it was like midnight and the casinos were really you know, enforcing that rule. So as far as the football games go, I'm assuming that that's still gonna happen, that they're gonna have to wear those masks. But it's hot, like it's so hot to be wearing a mask in 116 degree weather.
I can't even imagine. I can't even.
I was like, oh no, like this is too much. But yeah, oh my God, that stadium is going, I can't wait to see how it is, how it's going to be on game days. Because I know they're going to sell out. They're going to sell out. I mean, man, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And, you know, Washington plays the Raiders in Vegas December 5th. So everybody is making their way, you know, they're going to make their way downtown. They're going to make their way to Vegas for that.
Okay.
And all I can say is they can have it. I don't want no parts of that. But this is going to be so, it's just going to be, people are just going to be crying in Vegas anyway, just because, and people are asking, oh, well, why are the hotel rooms so expensive on this weekend? It's like, football is in town. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your comp rooms are not going to be comp that weekend because of football. So you got to take that for what it is. But yeah.
Yeah. So how was, okay, so you went there for the Usher concert.
Mm-hmm.
So how was
that? I did.
And so how was that COVID-wise?
That.
So did everybody sit next to each other? Everybody was like separated? Were there,
It was a packed house. We were sitting right next to people. They enforced the masks. You have to wear your mask. You know, once you walk through those little metal detectors, the man was like, mask up. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, you have to wear your mask. But I mean, did I feel unsafe? No, I didn't. I did not feel unsafe at all.
Everybody had to wear the, but everybody had to wear masks. I mean, it was
everybody
like,
had, yeah, everybody had to wear their mask. I mean, I pulled mine down a few times just so I can breathe without it. But otherwise, I had it on, and you know, I felt fine. I mean, singing the songs and stuff, and Usher even acknowledged. He was like, you know, I'm glad that you all are here. I'm sorry that you all have to wear the mask. He was like, I know it's hard as hell singing with the mask, so I can imagine, you know, how you all are feeling right now. And I know how you feel right now, but I thank you.
Right. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't feel any type of way at all. Okay. Like I thought I would. I thought I would feel like a little leery, a little like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. I felt nothing. I had my mask on and I was good. Maybe because I know I'm vaccinated. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it does give you a little bit more comfort, I think, feel. I mean, because then you kind of think, okay, well, if I do get it, you know, won't be that bad.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to, but I mean, at least you know that, okay, it won't be that bad in the event that I do, and you still kind of get to go out and enjoy. Yeah, I just, you know, for me, you know, of course, I would have preferred an outside type of stadium, but but yeah, that's all. I was just curious as to how, you know, that went down. Did they, you know, make sure that they blocked off like certain seats so only people can sit in these seats, you know, and not?
I thought that's what was gonna happen, but no, it was sold out. It was a sold out crowd, and we were up in there, and. Like I said, everybody had their mask on and we were good. I mean, everybody was in compliance. Mm-hmm. I didn't see nobody not like, you know, get upset because they didn't have their mask on. So it was what it was and it is what it is. So
Well, good. Well, it sounds like you had a great trip overall. I mean,
I did.
Was the strip crowded? Was it like regular Vegas type of thing, or was
absolutely.
It?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we got there on Wednesday, so it wasn't so bad during the week, but Friday, Saturday, oh yeah. It's like, that's when you know everybody, the partiers was coming in. Those party goers, they were coming in and, okay. In droves. So it was really crowded.
Okay.
But it wasn't like ridiculous. But it definitely had picked up, and you know, it was a whole lot going on the strip at night. Cause I did get to go to the strip like one night. I did go and walk me and my aunt, and you know, just to kind of see what shenanigans were taking place, and you know, some I don't know if it was a little boy, a teenager, or a grown man, but kept trying to shake my hand. He kept waving at me. Mm-hmm. And I'm waving, and then he comes and like sticks his hand out to, you know, shake my hand. I said, oh no. I was like, oh no, back up. But then he wants to elbow me. I'm like, sir, look, I don't know you. I'm sitting out here by myself waiting on my aunt. I need you to move. So I end up moving down a bit because, you know, people are crazy. Somebody asked my aunt if they could take a shower in her room because he smelled musty.
Oh.
What in the world makes you think that somebody is going to let you take a shower in their room, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Crazy. Just all sorts of crazy. But it was fun.
Okay.
It was fun.
It's Vegas. I mean, you know.
It is. And I can't wait to go back. Oh man. Yeah, it was crazy. But I can't wait to go back.
Excellent.
Here we are. But yeah, like I said, football season, it's gonna be popping. People are just gonna be there just to see that stadium, because the stadium apparently has like a little club section where they're gonna have a DJ and you can dance to the music. I mean, like I said, I don't know if you've seen like the plans for the stadium on like what they have in there, but I think that stadium is also cashless. A lot of stadiums now are going cashless though.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I know a lot of them are going cashless now. And I don't know if they have clear so you can get in and, you know, the security check that they have at the airport, they might have that too at that stadium, but I'm not 100% sure. I know that they're starting to put clear booths at the stadium so that way, you know, you can faster check-in systems. But man, oh man.
Wow.
Football season is going to be, that's going to be something else too, just because fans are going to be back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, fans are going to be back come football season. And Washington, they had Friday Night Lights on Friday where they had the fans back in the building. And everybody seemed to have enjoyed themselves there. I did not go because, truthfully, I don't see myself going to any football games this season.
Yeah, it just, yeah, especially when I hear, well, basically, I didn't even know why they said what they said. They should have just said, you know, they're opening it to fans.
Right, right.
When you hear it try to say, well, you know, it's masks are optional for unvaccinated. And just not really pressing those who aren't vaccinated to wear them either. My thing is just, you're just opening to fans. Why would you even make the distinction? Just
exactly.
Just tell everybody they can come.
Exactly. Everybody, come on, come on, come on. That's it. I'm not going to nobody's football game this season. I just don't see myself doing that. I don't want to have to be in a mask cheering for my team because who knows, I could get lightheaded or something, because even without a mask, sometimes I'm cheering so hard and I get lightheaded and I'm like, whoa, I need to sit down.
Right, right.
So if with the mask on, that's just, it's, to me, that's just too much. I'm good. I'm going to stay right at home and do my thing and watch TV and have a front row seat there. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then, so let's just get into this whole vaccinated and unvaccinated thing here, because you know a lot of these players,
right.
A lot of them have gotten their shots, but a lot of them have not. You know, some of them have not. And when you're on Twitter, you know, you see Cole Beasley's name, it's like, oh Lord, what did he do now? Oh, it's because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Kobe said he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Montez Sweat from Washington, he does not want to get vaccinated. And Kirk Cousins does not want to get vaccinated. I mean, I understand. Like, people keep saying, oh, I don't know what's in the shot. You know, I don't want this going into my body. Well, when we eat fast food, we don't know what's in that food. And you're putting that nasty stuff in your body. So what's the difference between that and the shot?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like people are out here growing other limbs, growing tails, and, you know, yeah, turning into cats and dogs.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, just, I don't know. Unless there's like a real medical reason that you cannot get this vaccine, get the vaccine.
Yeah, it's okay. So the NFL has, you know, imposed the new rules, So, I mean, you're basically, you're having camp with vaccinated players on one side and unvaccinated players on the other side. Mm-hmm. They really can't join in because I think the NFL is cracking down by imposing fines.
Right.
For those players. So basically, if you're unvaccinated and you test positive, they'll fine you.
Yep.
Because especially with this new Delta variant that's out, that is more contagious, so it's more easily spread, and it's more deadly than the other ones. So you can potentially, you know, give it to somebody who could die. I mean, like, seriously. So they're cracking down on it. They want you to, those unvaccinated players, I believe they're tested every day as opposed to the unvaccinated players. I might be wrong, but I think the unvaccinated players are only tested once a week. But I mean,
I think so. I think that's how that's going to work.
But I think that everybody should be tested every day regardless. Because again, vaccine's not a cure. It's just, you know, so that you won't get, you know, you won't get as sick as you would, you know, just kind of like when you get the flu shot, you know what I'm saying? It's not that you get the flu, it's just you won't have the symptoms as bad as if you, you know, weren't vaccinated.
So, and I think that's what some of these people are looking at. They're like, well, I don't get a flu shot, and I don't get sick. I mean, I don't know. To me, that just seems like it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. With this, the way people were dying, you would think that, let me go ahead and get this extra layer of protection so I won't die.
And the NFL is feeling there. A lot of the players are feeling forced into getting it. So I guess if they would have had their personal choice, they wouldn't. But okay, well, we have to look at it like, and I hate to say it, but you know, of course, even though it's your job, it's a business. Obviously, you have a job at a business, and this business is trying to protect basically their bottom line, which is the money. So in order for me to do that, I have to make sure that everybody, I mean, because to me, it's just like no any other job out here. You know, federal government's open back up. Hey, we need you all. If you're not going to be vaccinated, we're going to have to test you like every day because you can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't come into this workplace unvaccinated with vaccinated, you know, workers. And you know, and I mean, like I said, again, you're going to get tested two or three times as opposed to maybe an unvaccinated person getting. So everybody's doing this. This is not, to me, this is not just the NFL. I think most jobs that are coming back are doing this for the safety of their employees. I get it.
Yeah. But,
like I said, getting back to the, you know, the bottom line, you know, if there's an outbreak from an unvaccinated person on your team, you're affecting not only your team's paycheck, you're also affecting the team that you're going to play's paycheck because it's like nobody gets paid. Nobody gets a paycheck. So I mean, you're kind of like, NFL, why are you putting that on? But you're, you know, why are you putting that on a team? Obviously, like I said, they don't have any, you know, anything to do with the one team getting it. But I think when they start putting those type of things, you kind of make, of course, other teams either feel guilty or step up their game as to, hey, look, everybody needs to be vaccinated. Everybody needs to test negative.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have, they're already, the season's already longer, you know, by a week.
Right.
You're trying not to extend it. They're not going to reschedule games. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to do that this time because everybody's had an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like everything else in the world. Everybody's had an opportunity. Schools, businesses, you've had an opportunity to try to get this thing going. We have a vaccine out here because that's what everybody was worried about at first. Oh, how are we going to get it under control? Well, we got it.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Now that now that we can get it under control, it's kind of why we have to, because apparently people are dying, you know. Yeah. So even with the original strain, with this in this Delta one, it's taking people out faster. And like yep. I said, you know, and because it's quicker to spread, you know, you have to really get it. You know, you have to really get that vaccine, because I'm telling you, to get sick, it's difficult, because I've been hearing stories, you know, just regular everyday people. You hear these doctors, you know, a lot of the nurses who are like, you know, they're holding these patients' hands, and they're like, oh, can I still have the vaccine? You know, is it possible to still get the vaccine? Maybe if you make it, you know, you know, some of them are not making it. You know, it's too late to get the vaccine. Once you get it, you can't get it.
Yeah, you can't. And it's like, that's just something that you got to think. You got to think about that beforehand. I mean, unfortunately. But then I seen, you know, something on the news where this guy was in the hospital. I think he had the Delta variant. And, you know, he was really sick. And he said he still ain't getting the shot.
Yeah.
So you much rather put your life on the line. But, you know, I mean, I'm not judging anybody. To each their own. Yeah. Whatever you feel like you want to do, then you go right ahead and do that. But like you said, you're affecting, and NFL wise, you're affecting people's money now. If it's you, the unvaccinated player who, you know, catches it, you are affecting everybody's money. And then see, you can't play with people's paychecks.
Yeah, and it's just, and not only that too, but it's not even just it is paychecks. For the most part, but that trickles down to you're affecting everybody's family, because now,
yes,
in the event
that was another thing I was going to bring up. Yes,
in the event that you get it, and maybe I'm in close proximity, I have to be under protocol. And what if I'm positive now? I have to go home to my family.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And now my family, and then I mean, but at the same time too, hey, family, football season getting ready to start. My, you know, work is getting ready to start happening. I'm gonna need you all to be vigilant. And do not, we can't have any other guests over here that we don't already know. You know what I'm saying?
That is true. That is true.
Don't run into
I have no extra people out at this house.
Everybody that comes through here has to be, I mean, to me, everybody through here has to be vaccinated. It's funny because, you know, like on a personal, you know, note, things that I go to with friends, is everybody vaccinated here? Is everybody tested negative? Even though they are vaccinated, okay, come on, we can hang out. Because it has to be that way. I don't even care if it's an outside venue. It has to be that way for me to be.
I agree. I agree.
You know, you get,
you just never know. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, on the bottom of invitations, it's not just an RSVP. Hey, you know, please make sure you bring, you bring proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test within, you know, 4 days of the, you know, 3 days of the event.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, enough time for you to get tested and bring, you know, get results. Cause I know sometimes, you know, with the, not with the rapid test. I mean, I know the rapid test gives you, but I mean, I like the one that, you know, takes a little bit longer to get, make sure that, you know, it's true. You know, saying that takes maybe a day or two to get back to you. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people need to really understand how this affects everything that you do. Again, I like you said, you know, it's a personal choice. It's a personal choice, but at the same time, again, when you're working in an environment like that, you know, just like my job, working in an environment like that,
right?
You need to, you know, have your mask on. You're going to be close by other people. You don't want to get anybody else sick, because again, everybody's going home to somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. Same with my job too. Same with my job. Like I encounter people all the time, so. We have to be careful.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, a whole bunch of those dirty little germy kids running around. I don't have time for that.
Exactly. No, not at all. Not at all. So just, you know, just be careful. And I'm actually going to get a COVID test soon. Anyway, I kept saying, let me just get one. I just wanted to get one just because you never know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm vaccinated, but you never know. So I was like, let me just get one just in case. Because,
you know, not only that, to me, you know, it's free.
Yes. Hello. It is free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't even have to have no insurance. I mean, yeah, it's free.
you could walk up to any place. I have seen several, especially in the city, firehouses are doing
it. Oh, yeah.
Right outside of some schools, they're doing it. Your local CVS is, you know, your pharmacy is doing. You can get this thing. You can get tested any, and damn near they're shot anywhere. You know, they still have, you know, places that you can look up through. And I don't know about everybody else's area, but I, you know, talk about our area. You know, the county, I know PG County. You all you got to do is go to their website. They will list places for you to go.
They have a whole lot of places that you can go.
So you can get the vaccine for free. You just need to, you know, it's not costly. It's not even costly.
Nope, not at all. I mean, they even have like events where, you know, they had the go-go bands, you know, performing and giving away, you know, free stuff. And oh, we have a vaccine, you know, a vaccination site. You can come get free COVID tests or come get the vaccine.
You know,
I mean, they're doing everything that they can possibly to get people vaccinated. I mean, and it's a shame that you have to kind of bribe people in order to get it, but you know, we just want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to be safe. We just want everybody to not have to worry about anything. We want to get this thing under control. Like, we're still in a pandemic. The pandemic is not over. And we need to get this thing under control. Like, it's been a year and, yeah, you know, a year and months now that we're wearing these masks. You know, you still got to stress washing your hands because some people are not even washing their bodies, let alone their hands. And they've stopped saying that on the PSAs. Like, you still need to wash your hands each and every day, each time you use the bathroom, several times a day when you come from somewhere, you need to wash your hands if you've been touching on stuff.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's very, you know, the NFL, like I said, it's going to be a strange season. Obviously, like I said, with camp starting now, you know, practice starting, preseason game starting. Of course, they had a Hall of Fame game. You know, it's very, again, I think that they're just really making you aware that you have your teammates, your colleagues, you know, you have their livelihoods in your hand.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
It's up to your teammates to really, like you said, just safe practices. The season is starting. Watch who you're around. Just don't have many people around. Have your bubble of people that you are always around or whatever. And then let's just go from there. Let's just have an incident-free football season. Incident-free season, period. Like, let's just practice caution, please.
Yeah, fans are back in the stands. Like, seriously, fans are back in the stands. It's going to be...
fans are going to want to take pictures with you and stuff. I mean, you know, you just don't know who's vaccinated, who's unvaccinated. Just use caution. But we don't want to have any games canceled or anything like that. We're just trying to make a smooth football season, all 18 weeks. Woo. All 18 weeks. No reschedules. We don't want nobody's money to be in jeopardy because we don't know your finances. But, you know, nobody can afford to be missing checks.
Exactly.
So, you know, just take caution, y'all. That's all I can say. For that, but I just want to touch on the NBA real quick.
Sure.
And then we're going to go into the Olympics, but the NBA real quick. I know you've heard about this super team in LA. I mean, I'm sure Kobe's rolling over in his grave right now. Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony to the Lakers. And I feel like there's one more that I am missing. That also went to the Lakers, and I cannot think of who it is. Maybe I'm not missing. No, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Also back with the Lakers. I'm like, oh, What in the world? How is this going to play out? Like, LeBron, are you calling up your friends and saying, you know what, y'all come to LA and we're going to be guaranteed to win the championship? Like, come on.
Well, wasn't that almost the guarantee before with the Anthony Davis and the Dennis Schroeder? And
yeah, it was almost a guarantee. Almost. And almost does not count.
Oh, we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I've seen all the memes that have been out. they were like, you know, that's you, man. They was putting some, because I kept saying, why do people have these old players that they're putting
up? Right.
It's time to a 1-year deal. I was like, oh, I get it.
What in the world?
Yeah.
Mr. Bryant, may he continue to rest.
Well, I don't know how the Lakers organization. I mean, I don't know how the Lakers organization can even say that this is like healthy. I don't get it.
And then you ain't got Magic there to be like, what in the world are y'all doing? So, you know, I guess it just.
That means too, I guess, obviously LeBron wants to stay in LA because, I mean, usually it'll be him traveling, like, yeah, I'm going to another team. I don't want to be.
He trying to bring everybody onto his team. I mean, am I mad at it? Not really, but being a Laker fan, I'm like, I just don't even know if I can get with this. I just don't know. I mean, they're old.
Yeah.
They're old. I mean, Melo and Bron are about my age, maybe a year older. I think me and Bron are both the same age. Like, come on, y'all. I get that y'all trying to win a championship, but really? But that's all I wanted to say about that. I couldn't believe it when I saw that, you know, these people were going to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. Mm-hmm. Too much.
All day, every day. But,
you know. Here we go. We'll see with NBA season.
With the Olympics being over too, I mean, you got some big deals. You got some big deals happening. Kevin Durant signed a $198 million deal with he's, I don't know if he signed it yet, but he's supposed to be signing it 4 years, a 4-year $198 million deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-mm, Brooklyn. Live as Burrow. And speaking of KD, though, like, yeah, with the Olympics, man. Mm-hmm. KD went off. He went off. He really led that team.
The destruction that has been, you know, the NBA teams NBA players that have been going, you know, haven't been exactly, you know, stellar going over to the Olympics of late. I guess after that loss, that first loss to France,
they picked up because I was like, "Oh Lord, they in trouble."
Yeah, you know, I think it's you know, point of two. Popovich, he is a great coach.
No doubt.
Was he the best coach for this? I don't know.
I don't think so.
And like I said, it's not nothing against him, obviously. I just didn't think that he was the best for this particular kind of game. Only because, let's just compare like to Super Team. You know what I'm saying? You're getting all these players. So, you know, you have your ideal kind of team here. But usually, you know, that there's a college player or two on the team. I really don't understand why we don't have college players in general, because you can put that team together and work with them after school gets out.
Right.
Up until so that they gel together more. And and you get here. And I mean, granted, like I said, Kevin Durant kind of took over a little bit, but you don't want everything to be so on one player. Everybody should be able to get the get the ball and move around and do their thing.
And contribute,
Because it just seemed like every night, if Kevin Durant didn't bring it, it wasn't going to happen. That's the way I... you know, after that first loss.
Yeah, so, and like you said, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot on one player.
Yeah, it is, and I mean,
like, everybody needs to step up.
Yeah, you know, and it was just, it was crazy because you have these other, you know, it's real funny to me sometimes too. When you see, you're like, oh, you know, this NBA player went to the Olympics. You're like, oh, but they played for their home country's team. So, you see, but you see these other teams have one or two NBA players. These other teams have these one or two NBA players who they kind of plug into their mix, because those teams, and that's what I don't think the U.S. understands, those teams have been probably playing together for, you know, quite some time up until the Olympics, because this is their team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So and then they plug in that, that NBA player who is playing, you know, representing for their country.
Right. He's just a plug-in, because their team, their national team probably, I wouldn't be surprised if their national teams probably practice or play together throughout the year, just because, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, every country has their own like little leagues and things like this. But yeah, they put together a national team that practices together. And then when the Olympics comes up, this is their team. They're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. is like, who we gonna put on Olympics team this year? Okay, let's see. You know, Olympics coming up. Okay. Let's put together a team. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, I never even thought about that though. Having, like you said, college players, so they can gel, and then maybe plugging in, you know, an NBA player or two or three. Yeah. In there, I didn't even think about that, but I don't even know. You know what? I don't even know how do they even assemble? How do they assemble Team USA basketball anyway?
You know what? That is a very good question.
Because it's not like all-star voting or anything, right? No.
I never knew
how they put those teams together. Like, do you just say, you put a memo out there and anybody interested in, you know, this Olympic team?
I know it's a selection process, but I'm not sure how they exactly do it. So maybe, you know, okay, so, you know, I'm assuming, you know, they probably pick players who have played like internationally, or maybe on, you know, have, you know, an initial international level.
Right.
Maybe, you know, if anybody's played before in the previous Olympics.
And I mean, I can understand that, but if it's somebody's like first time, how do they get it?
I think it's just, they kind of just look at all the players and like the best ones that they feel, you know, could show, that they feel could represent, you know, in a positive light. I know. Yeah. But I think, you know, I think they're just, the U.S. Olympic Committee kind of just picks.
Yeah, maybe they do. Or maybe they just see who's popular and then they go from there, I guess.
I don't even think it's a popularity thing. I believe it's just, you know, I believe it's a, you know, like a hustle hard mentality. Who, like I said, who would think the U.S. and who would represent the U.S. in a good light.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, that's just something that I never even thought of, like, you know, how do they do this?
Yeah, so I think that's what it is. I think that they just, you know, they go through, you know, they see, you know, different players that they need. Like I said, again, anybody with, you know, I'm sure with any kind of international game experience, because, you know, of course, the rules are a little bit different in the international game than they are. Right. I mean, of course, I mean, it's just, you know, and for those who don't know, it's just an adjustment, you know, you kind of have to keep in mind. But, yeah, you're right. I don't know. Yeah, just do like it is. They could, you know, who they think would be a good representation for the U.S., you know, because, you know, obviously going, you're ambassadors.
You know, right. I mean, right. That's true.
I mean, any, to me, any athlete said, go, you're an ambassador from the United States that goes to represent. So.
To represent your country in a positive light. But yeah, shout out to the men's Team USA basketball for bringing home the gold. And KD for leading the way and scoring. He had 29 points, 1 point shy of his previous 30-point games in the other years of the Olympics. And then Damian Lillard stepped up in the fourth quarter and, you know, helped seal that win. So shout out to them. They brought home the gold and, you know, see Pleasant represent. But he just won't come home to play for his hometown team, and that's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I quite honestly, I don't know if the Wizards have enough money to pay everybody that probably would need to be around him to do what he does. Yeah,
probably not, and that, you know what, that's all right. They'll be okay, they'll get through it, but congratulations to the men, and also congratulations to the women, because the women got the gold also.
They did.
They got the gold. It's their seventh win, seventh gold medal that they have brought home. So the women are doing it.
And see, and that's definitely, that's definitely kind of almost the difference a little bit too. They're definitely and are definitely more acclimated to the international game because a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
A lot of them will play overseas. During the off times that they're not playing in the WNBA, because, you know, as we all know, it's a whole nother show, but, you know, women, their salaries in WNBA are not quite like the salaries, obviously, in the NBA. So a lot of them will go play overseas to supplement their income. So a lot of them have a lot of experience with that, which I think makes that, you know, it really makes them, it makes it an even playing field when it comes to Olympics, because they're most of them have, like I said, they probably played with a lot of those players that are playing for these other countries. So that should be, that Dawn Staley did her thing, of course, coaching. You know, she's won the highest level at every level that she's played.
Yeah, talk about a beast. Talk about a beast.
It's amazing, you know.
And then Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi got 5 gold medals now from the Olympics. And they're the first to do it in either men or women. So
hats off to hats off to the ladies. The ladies have definitely shown and proven that they are a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Well, good for them, man. I'm happy for them. So happy for them for achieving that. So nobody else can say that they have 5 gold medals from basketball. Only those two. So. Shout out to them for doing that. Shout out to both Team USA men and women's basketball for bringing home the gold. It seemed like it was a little iffy at first, like I said, for the men, but they ended up pulling it off and they got it. So not an easy task, but they pulled through and made it happen. And I also wanted to touch on Simone Biles for a moment, because as we know, you know, Simone is one of the goats of gymnastics, and you know, she was slated to really do her thing at the gymnastics. But when your mental game is not there, when your mental health, when you're not mentally into something, it's going to throw everything off. It's really going to throw everything off. So when she withdrew from, what was that, the beam? When she withdrew from that, you know, citing her mental health and just her not being all the way there, you know, I wasn't even mad. Like, that was good that she did that instead of, you know, putting the team at risk, because she knew that she had to get herself together. And that was, there was nothing wrong with that. But you let people talk, and some people are like, oh, well, why, you know, why would she do that? And, you know, that's being selfish. It's not being selfish. That's not being selfish, not one bit, because she thought about her team, and she knew that her head just wasn't in the right place at the right, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to take care of your mental health. And people are acting like, you know, she just did something wrong. You don't take a mental health day every once in a while from your job. Everybody has done it at some point.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Everyone has done it at some point. You're like, oh, I just can't even do it. I need a mental health day. We all have, you know, those times. And I don't even know why. You know, I don't know why jobs just don't have mental health days anyway, but that's just me, especially nowadays, because with a whole lot of stuff going on, like, they need to implement more mental health days, but whatever. They would just much rather overwork you and underpay you. Whatever. Right.
And, you know, I think, well, everybody's like, oh, this is the new thing, you know, everybody needs to take off for their mental health. I don't know that it's a new thing. I think that it's just more, I think it's just more light that has been being shed on it, maybe in the past 5 to 6 years, because you've had serious, like a Delonte West type of issue where, you know, right. These where people are, you know, violently or even, you know, just their lives have been so turned upside down with mental health issues that I think it's now become a focus for, you know, of course we're talking about the sports world, but I just think in general, I think that it's become a lot more of a focus for some of the things, for some people who wouldn't normally come out and say, okay, well, yeah, this is what I'm going through, or for everyone else who, you know, just like get over it, you know what I'm saying, and move on. So I just don't know how, you know, folks can sit back and, like you said, you know, say, you know, why she can't do this, why you can't do that. Well, because it takes a toll.
Take a toll.
Not only for her too. I mean, you want to perform at your best all the time, and if you feel you can't perform at your best, and you know, you feel like you're not giving your fans everything, and for an athlete who, like I say, wants to do that, and you feel that you can't, you have to take yourself out of it because she could hurt herself. You know, something that would take her out completely, and by her removing herself from that situation, to make sure that she got her mind right. I think it's big. I think it's big, and obviously on one of the biggest stages in the world. You know, you're doing it here at the Olympics. You know, it's not like in the off season that this happened, and you took time, but you know, people are just like, oh, you know, she posted pictures with her man. Okay, well, maybe that's what makes her happy place. Maybe that's, you know, the comfort that she needs at that particular time. Either way, the point of the matter is that if her head is not in the game, there shouldn't be anybody. I mean, people talk about it all the time. He didn't have a good game today. I wonder what's going, you know, why is he acting? I don't know what's going on in people's lives.
Exactly. You really don't. You really don't. And again, it's so much going on in the world right now. And, you know, we were pretty much locked in our homes for a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for people to like really get back out here and on a stage such as the Olympics and all the pressure that comes with that, you know, she just we don't know what was going through her head. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on through it, going through any of these women's head or any of these athletes' heads, period. You just, you don't know. Like, things, everybody handles things differently. So again, you can't be mad at her for, you know, protecting her mental health. Because had she not done that and then messed up, then that would have been a storyline too. Like, oh, what's going on with Simone Biles? Is she going down? And, you know, is she not the greatest? And, you know, I just feel like it was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of pressure getting to her. That's how I feel. And that's what I feel. It was a lot of pressure to get to her. So she needed to take a step back to make sure that she, you know, was mentally stable and mentally ready to push on. And, you know, to end this thing right and not hurt herself. Because that's the last thing you want to do, is you practice and you train all this time. And then because your head is not in the game, your head is not there mentally. And then you mess up. I mean, that's just like, you know, if you got a job to do or something and you haven't had a lot of sleep, you're not going to perform to your, you know, to the highest performance. Mm-hmm. You need to get a little bit of rest in order to come back refreshed, and then, okay, I can push through and I can do this again. So that's what happened with her. She took mm-hmm. off some time, and then she came back and she finished out, and she still ended up medaling. It was a bronze medal. Guess what a bronze medal is? It's still a medal. It's still a medal. She's still medaled. It might not have been the highest, but she still got a medal. Mm. She got more than what I would have gotten. Yeah. More than what a lot of y'all would have gotten. So, you know, I still say she still won. She still won. So, you know, good for her. Good for her. And I hope that, you know, moving forward, I hope that things are right with her and, you know, she can relax a little bit until the next competition, you know, starts, and she can go to her base training camp or something and cheer him on, or, you know, something, because she's back home now and they welcomed her. And I hope she can just take some time for herself and lay low and, you know, get herself right and just relax for a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. She deserves it.
Yeah, she definitely deserves that. Definitely deserves it. Oh my goodness. Such a packed show today.
It's been an interesting Olympics all around. I mean, obviously, from just the fact that, of course, it's a year later.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of throws me off, too, because I'm like, why do I keep saying 2020? But, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, because they've already marketed it. That's it. That's the logo. Yeah. Thing. So, yeah, because, I mean, I often thought that, too. I was like, okay, but, I mean, but this is, you've already marketed it as a this. You can't just change it now because of, you know,
right, you do everything,
you do everything around the year, you do everything around what's going on, so you can't change it.
So they're still going to have it in 2024?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be on time. This is just, you know, a year late, that's all.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that. I was like, they're still going to have it in 2024.
Yeah, this Olympics has been, like I said, it's I think it's been a test. I think that outside of some of the great things that have come out of it, you know, there's still, the world is so aware now, I think. A lot of it started, you know, here with the attention brought to, you know, African Americans being, you know, how they get treated by the police. I think that, you know, so this is, you you know, and it could have been, you know, something more. I mean, that's just when I just see the significant change when you see these, you know, these people getting gunned down in the street by, you know, police officers. Mm-hmm. And so the awareness, I think that the act of being aware of things has been very prominent in the world today. So, you know, with that, of course, behind that, you have also, you know, the LGBTQ. Forgive me if I forget any other letters after that, but you know that their community has, you know, been, you know, in the forefront of a lot of things as well, you know, mm-hmm. Protests. So it's no, you know, it's no surprise that this Olympics has been riddled with things of that nature as well. Even before the game started, you had a lot of controversy with, you know, just with Tokyo, with them in their setting up of the games. A lot of people who were involved in getting the games together had either been fired or quit. You know, managers, I mean, you know, comments that they've made, and some of them made these comments years, I mean, decades ago. And, you know, but they had, you know, a lot of people had left trying to work on getting the Olympic Games together. So it's been quite a ride to even get the Olympics up and running. Of course, again, you're doing it in the midst of COVID and making sure the athletes, I mean, they did have some, you know, some athletes test positive. And I'm just, which is crazy to me, because you have to get tested before you go. You get there, you get tested. And I'm just like, well, where are you catching this? Because it just,
right.
I mean, how do you test positive after I've tested negative all the way to get here? You quarantine and some more stuff, and you're telling me that I have it now? I mean, but, you know, no. And then again, it was just a weird Olympics in general, too. You know, you don't have fans in the stands. Really, you just kind of had maybe your teammates, you know what I'm saying, maybe some crew or somebody, you know, the people who are filming. You have very few fans. And I know that that's hard.
Yeah.
So used to, you know, you're so used to, you know, especially performing in front of, you know, people from your country, people who are just rooting for you. It's to me, it's so different than like here, you know, basketball games, you know, when they were in the bubble and that, mm-hmm. you know, the limited fans that they were. For some, I thought that the football season, for the most part, it was a little rough too. But I mean, but again, it's a little bit different. You know, you have two teams, and you know, it was, like I said, it was a little bit different because here, you know, Olympics, you have people from all over the world that come,
right.
These events, right. You know, and
those stands are usually packed,
you know, and I know that Japan had to, you still had to put it on because look, we spent money on this, but at the same time, you do kind of lost that money because there's nobody there. So, you know, all of the good economy that the Olympics brings to your town is gone because, you know, you, like I said, you would have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people there who are not, but they're not just coming in for the games, but because of the games, local businesses will, you know, get more people coming through because you'll get mm-hmm. people out and about and exploring the country and or the city. And, but you just didn't have that. And I know that hurt a lot. On that end, so I know that was crazy. And then, like I said, because, you know, getting back to just being aware of things in the world, you had people quietly, silently, or loudly protesting or standing up for their communities. You've had, you know, I don't want to say scandal, but you just had everything from protests but I guess what they would say, signs of protest on mm-hmm. the on the podiums. And at the same time, again, some great things came out of this Olympics. You know, quite a few in different categories, quite a few world records were set as opposed, well, and Olympic records were set. People just, you know, people were doing big things at these Olympics. And, it's hard not to miss some of the other things that were going on behind the scenes, right. or in front of, and right in front of you. It was really crazy because you know, my thing with sports, especially with females, it's a hard topic because I know everybody has their place, but for women, I just feel that, you know, when you don't get to compete against women, it's hard. It's already tough enough as a female sport sometimes. And then the fact that you've got to compete against somebody who's who biologically didn't grow up as a woman, it's really hard sometimes.
That's been a
real big issue with me, especially on the track side.
And I feel like we've talked about that before.
It's been really hard for me on the track side because there are some genetic anomalies that do happen, so I get that. But when you change who you biologically were, that's when I have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it may or may not make a difference in the soccer game with the girls, but how do you compete with that?
Yeah. I don't know
what levels that you have to be at. How do you compete with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. And like I said, it may not, like I said, for me on the track side, it's more because I don't, because it's so individual, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, with like soccer, it's like a more of a team setting. So you're depending on one or the other, but
right.
In track setting, it's just so difficult. And I believe that there were some in the weightlifting category. Again, I know your levels have to be at a certain, you know, your testosterone levels have to be at a certain level in order to compete. But it just, you know, it's still kind of disturbing to me that, you know, you have a slight advantage.
Because that's not... Yeah, I get what you're saying, because it's almost like, yes, you may have had the change, but your structure, to me, your structure is still, it's still like a man. If you were a man and you transitioned to a woman, your structure is still like that, and I'm sorry, but you're still powerful. You still have, to me, you still have that power as if you were a man.
Right. I mean, because
you know what I mean?
And it was, like the weightlift, the one, young lady with weightlifting, she didn't, you know, she didn't medal, but, it's still crazy, you know, to know that, you know, the potential could possibly be there. Like, it's really crazy to me.
It is. And then, I don't know, maybe this is like a whole other show for another time. It's a whole nother show, because I can just go off on a tangent.
I'm not even gonna go there
right now. I can't go there right now because I don't want to sound ignorant.
I don't either, and I'm not going to be offensive to anybody at all, because I mean, everybody deserves an opportunity to compete. Don't get that.
Absolutely.
But it's really funny to me, just the one last thing, it's really funny to me because, okay, there are those who are intersex, which is, they are female, but their genetic anomaly is the fact that they have a higher testosterone level. They are biologically female,
mm-hmm.
but their testosterone levels are genetically higher. So one, the biggest one, the biggest name for me is Caster Semenya. She runs 800 meters, and a lot of them weren't able to compete because their natural testosterone level is higher, even though they are biologically females. And the fact that they couldn't compete, there's like four or five of them who can't compete, but one of them in that category said, maybe we could get our own category to compete. Now, you had to have somebody who naturally is genetically, you know, in this situation to come out and say we should have our own category. Whereas folks who do this, they're like, oh no, I should be able to compete. As no, I really think that you need your own category.
They need their own category. Yes. And that's where I was going to go. Yeah. They do need their own category, because it's not fair to a natural man. It's not fair to a natural woman.
Absolutely. And
they need their own category in order to compete. And that, to me, that would be fine.
And I think good with it. And not only that, like I said, that is the one athlete, like I said, she's intersex. And like I said, in the fact that she has more testosterone, her testosterone levels are a little bit higher than a normal female, because female has testosterone level, but it's obviously much lower. But, you know, for them, it's much higher. And, mm-hmm. She wants to compete. She, you know, she doesn't think that, but a lot of them, they want them to take medication to lower it. And a lot of the medication that they have to take makes them sick. Mm. So, I would love to see somebody, you know, work with them and try to come up with something that would, you know, make it so that they could do that and compete, maybe even regular, for those particular athletes. I'm not saying for
training. Right.
Those particular athletes who have that natural, you know, anomaly, you know, maybe something for them, because they want to compete so bad, they were willing to take, you know, okay, you want me to take this to, you know, lower my testosterone level, but it makes me sick, you know, so let's try to come up with, you know, to me, I'm like, well, let's try to come up with something. Why don't they, you know, why aren't, you know, pharmaceutical companies, and maybe they are, but, you know,
right, maybe they aren't, we don't know, but, you know,
it, on the surface, it doesn't look like that's, you know, that's it. And now you can't compete, because if your levels are over, you know, a certain number, you can't compete in like the shorter distances, anything between 400 and I think 1500 meters. So mm-hmm. you can't in anything like that. And I'm just like, they haven't shown, you know, some of them haven't shown an advantage or disadvantage. And one of them is an 18-year-old young lady. And it's, you know, and she's, a lot of these athletes that have that, that issue are, from African countries. So,
right.
You know, I don't know if that's how that works. I mean, I'm sure that there may be some others in other countries, but it just seems like a lot of the athletes, especially the competitive ones who do have that and have that issue, are from African countries. So I'm just kind of wondering what's in the water over there, because.
Yeah, I was about to say, it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder.
So like I said, you know, this year's Olympics have been riddled with all kinds of, I mean, I guess maybe no more than any other one. Maybe I paid attention more. I don't know. But it just seemed like there was quite a few controversial things going on behind the scenes at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Like you said, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we were more aware. Maybe this whole lockdown situation, this quarantine situation, has aided us to like be more aware of things that are going on than we have been in the past.
Or it could just be too, again, just like as we've seen it, obviously, over, you know, years of sports, we've seen. Mm-hmm. Different, you know, different things happen. Muhammad Ali going to jail because he didn't want to go to, you know, he didn't want to go over there into the war. You've seen people take a stand for things. It, we've seen this, but it just seemed like.
And maybe it's the era of social media also.
Yeah, but it's just been, it's like this, it's just been so much. Yeah. I mean, we've had anywhere from, you know, animal rights groups to get involved. I mean, you know, animal rights groups to, to political, to governments,
mm-hmm.
these governments being involved in a lot of stuff. I mean, I think the biggest thing was a lot of the Russian athletes, they competed under the Olympic committee flag because they're not allowed to have an Olympic team because of so much scandal with steroid use or,
I'm wondering about that.
Yeah, so those are the Russian, they're competing. because there's so much controversy with.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I had been wondering about that. I was like, why is there logo like the Olympic? The Olympic logo. Okay. I never thought anything else of it. Oh, wow. Okay. You shed some light on that for me. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. But yeah, that's so they compete under the Olympic flag. And NBA, again, some sort of, advantage type of, scandal there. Well, that's been happening for decades with the Russian teams. There have always been some questions.
Oh, yeah, they always had some stuff going on with them anyway.
Like I said, they were just like, okay, you're banned. I think they banned them, but at the same time, again, I think with this, when they compete on the Olympic flag, you had to meet, I guess, certain qualifications, obviously, in order to put, could punish all the athletes for what some of the athletes were doing. I think that's what they were trying to, relay. I mean, but it's, like I said, it's just crazy, New Zealand. Was that beach volleyball or the handball team, and they wanted to wear shorts. They didn't want to wear those bikini bottoms and pink ended up coming to step in and pay their fines. The singer Pink, it was scandal. It just was controversy after controversy. It just seemed like, wow, really? Is this how we're doing things these days? I mean, who would have known? He was out. Okay, well, why can't I wear shorts? We don't want to wear the bikini. That's an issue. Like, what's wrong? They want us to wear the bikini bottoms. Really? Don't you have a choice? And then, even that, the Mexican softball team's uniforms found in the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm telling you, mm-hmm. there's so much stuff. There's been so much. And I'm just like, wow. It's like, every day there was, there seems to be something happened. That was so controversial about, things at the gates. I mean, seriously.
You're right. You're right.
We're talking before, I was telling you about the equestrian event, the decathlon. They were mad at the rider for whipping. And then I didn't realize after all this happened that her coach punched the horse. So he was removed. I was like, it's an animal doing what an animal does, but okay, whatever. I mean, it just, like
they, it's too bad.
It really is. And let's take it back. We could take it back to, when the doping allegations came out, I can't remember what year that was. Was it 2008? I forgot what year it was, but the U.S. team got stripped of their gold. The 4x1 team got stripped of the gold. And the second place team was the Nigerians. Of course, the Nigerians ended up getting the medals.
Yeah, I remember that.
But now, because they were the civil
members. Yeah, I do remember that.
Now they're making a big thing. And I'm not saying it like that, like they shouldn't, but they were like, well, we want our time on the podium. We finally got our gold and we want, what's that? How come we can't mm-hmm. get on the podium? So they want their little podium celebration. I mean, everybody, there's an issue. There's an issue here, there, and everywhere. So everybody's got something. Everybody's got something.
Yeah, something like you said.
It's been ruined. Yeah, it has been one thing after another. It's like I said to me, and I'm just like, wow, what? Really? Are you kidding me? No way. But like I said, you know, good highlights, you know, Allison Felix, who failed to qualify, I think, for the 200. She came in, ran that 4x4, which put her up on Carl Lewis for the most decorated or the most medals by any track athlete. So she's now 11. Carl Lewis is 10. So Allison Felix overcame, you know, all that with Nike and being pregnant and having her kid, and now look at her. So you know, so boohoo, you don't get that advertisement for her being that who she is now. 11 medalist at the Olympics, most medals ever of a track athlete, U.S. track athlete at the Olympics. So you know, again, you know, men and women's basketball team, fantastic there. Most of, you know, we've had the swimmers. I mean, we, you know, like I said, there's been some really good things coming out of the Olympics. I mean, there were like 6 new events at the Olympics this year, which included what, surfing, skateboarding.
Yeah, I did watch that.
Climbing.
I like the skateboarding.
I thought that was pretty cool. I think they'll tweak it, but I think that was really, I think it was a really good event to have.
It was.
It really was a really good event to have. So I think that was, and having Tony Hawk there, you know, to help, you know, announce it. That was really good.
Right. So, hopefully people know who Tony Hawk is now, because, you know, makes him relevant again.
The world knows who Tony Hawk put skateboarding on the map. I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
And I believe he helped with it. He helped create this event for the Olympics. You know, Tony Hawk is out there, you know, because of course a lot of athletes that we saw, I don't want to say kind of growing up, but like I said, Michael Phelps was helping to do commentary with swimming since he's been retired now. It's good to see some of those older faces that aren't so old, you know, coming back to help with you know, the Olympic thing. You know, they had Natasha Lukin. I guess she's been doing a commentary with the announcing for the gymnastics. So, you know, having her, it's just been, you know, so like I said, some really good moments as well. Not everything bad there, but there's like some really good, some really good moments. I really appreciated you know, watching the games. It's like I said, just was a little weird, you know, no fans, you know, who do you run around and, you know, the flag. Yeah, I mean, just
I know. And just you going to the camera and seeing your family on, you know, Skype or Zoom, or, you know, watching and cheering you on, which is cool, but it's not the same as your family being there in the stands after you've won. So they made it work, and
that mean, like I said, I have to admit, you know, Tokyo pulled it off. Great city.
They pulled it off. And I can't wait for 2024. Do you know where it's gonna be? 2024, I forget.
Ooh, Paris.
Ooh, Paris.
In Paris. Yep, sure.
And then I think it's in LA in 2028.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Australia, I think they get it in 32.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got some places to look forward to.
Absolutely.
I
have a cousin.
To LA in 2024.
Yeah.
I mean, 2028.
Yeah, I have a cousin in Paris. Maybe. We'll see.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Dances. Yeah, he's a dancer, and he teaches ballet.
That's what's up.
It's really
Francais. No.
he learned quick, fast, and in a hurry too, and he is all of it. I just love him to death. Yeah, he's all of it.
I know that's right.
He's been there for years now. Oh, God, years now.
Oh, man. That's like one of my cities that I was just saying last night that I want to go to. My friend has been there before. One of my best friends, she's gone, and she loves it. So
traveling.
That's on my list.
Nothing beats traveling. Nothing beats it.
Like my 40th in a few years, like I'm going across the pond. I'm trying to hit all of those, you know, European countries. And Paris is on that list. Paris and Italy and London. Yeah, I'm trying to go to all of those places. But we shall see. We shall see. But man, we have gone over our time today, but it's all good because there's so much to talk about, so much to catch up on.
Yes, definitely.
And so we'll be right back here next week, y'all. Preseason games will be under our belts.
Yes.
And we will have a lookout for you for the upcoming football season that is upon us already. I just cannot believe that.
I know.
We may have a special guest next week or in the next week or two. So who knows? We'll see what happens here.
Absolutely. That sounds good.
We'll see what happens. But y'all take care. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you back here next week. Peace.
See you.